Welcome to another episode of Story Break, the Writers Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea, or I guess just the distillation of the internet, into a movie. Now that's what we're doing.
Five movies, Freddie.
I'm your host, Freddie Wong. Boy, oh boy, this one's going to be a weird one.
How do you do, fellow kids? I'm Will Campos.
Oh, Jesus.
Brr, meme, hi, Matt, internet, whoop. Let's do it.
What was that? I don't understand.
Matt made a bunch of guttural noises, which is not that much different than what we normally expect from our good friend Matt.
Matt Arnold.
I'm doing the no thanks Drake pose to Matt's intro, and then doing the finger point smile intro to Freddie's intro.
Damn.
Okay, you stumbled upon a real problem here with what we're trying to do. We're trying to do memes, five memes into five movies.
But I hate this so much.
It's like the five obstructions with Lars Van Trier, but it's the five memes. Now, here's the problem, Will. Memes are a visual medium, and boy oh boy is it going to be kind of arduous to describe these things visually, but again, we'll go for it. Whatever, it's podcasts, everyone loves podcasts.
Good thing we've got the five freshest and funniest memes known the world around today. Everyone's been to, you know, first we were like, we're going to do the first good superhero movie, and then that happened when we were in middle school and the movie Blade came out.
Yes.
And then we were like, we're going to do the first good video game movie. And that one's still kind of a work in progress.
No, then Doom came out with The Rock.
Then Doom came out with The Rock, and it's like, all right, fine. We're going to be the first people in Hollywood to do a good or any meme movie. Why isn't this is the next big trend? They're going to start making movies out of memes. I'm telling you, know why? Recognize.
They did the emoji movie. Now it's time for the meme movie.
Yeah, but emojis are right. Here's why. Recognizable IP, immediate fan base, no one owns them. Who are you going to go buy the rights? You don't have to shell out $50 million for the rights to the new meme.
This is like hearing that they're redoing the Scorpion King, and it's like 100% a bunch of like executives are like, kids love the Scorpion King. Look at all these great memes about it. Like, look at all this great stuff. And then it's like, no, they're making fun of it, guys.
Doing a movie about a meme is like when you're a parent and you overhear your kids like something and then you try to engage in it, and you doing it makes it no longer cool. Like the moment you do a meme movie, it's over. You've ruined that meme forever.
That's the moment when you realize you have true unlimited power as a parent, and that you can actually ruin anything your kids like by doing it harder than they do.
Yeah, you can make or break worlds, entire worlds. Hey, Will, I got a question for you.
Shoot, fire away, Freddie.
How is Blade, the vampire hunter, the daywalker, like me at my high school prom?
What?
Wait a second. I feel like I can get this one. Are you both dumb motherfuckers trying to ice skate uphill?
No, right?
Ready.
Like Blade, I work alone.
Oh my God.
All right. On that note, we're going to do, here's the rules. Here's the competition rules. 10 minutes per meme.
Matt, I'm putting that in my type five.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very funny. So we're going to do 10 minutes per meme. We're going to rip through five memes. By the end of this thing, we're going to have five meme movies, and then we're going to call up old Johnny Hollywood and get these movies made, and then we can stop doing this podcast because we'll have a quintilogy of movies.
All right, hit me with the first
meme. What's the first meme?
Our first meme today, gentlemen, is, are you winning, son?
You want to explain it, Will?
Are you winning, son?
For those that don't know this meme, why don't you describe it?
All right. So, are you winning, son, is a meme where it's a picture. It's like a crude MS Paint drawing of a dad walking in on his son at a computer playing video games, and he's asking, are you winning, son? I think the original version of Are You Winning, Son had the son playing a very saucy, like erotic
anime
virtual reality anime booby game. But I don't know that we need to adhere to that.
No.
The meme format has just been like, now it's like he's always doing different stuff. Like he's, you know, flaming people on the internet. Sometimes it's very wholesome and the dad joins in on the game. But so this is the meme. It's sort of a spoof of, you know, like parents, you know, wanting to connect with their kids, but not really getting it.
And the frame of reference of the dad is that video games are only things that you can win, and not, in the case of the original, interact with anime babes.
With Hatsune Miku.
Which is its own form of winning, if you think about it.
To me, the real secret to this meme, because like just a dad walking in is like, okay, why did this one stick? It's specifically, this is a very crude stick figure drawing, but the characterization of the dad is very well done.
It is.
Because the dad is both smoking a cigarette, a little smoke is coming out.
It's
he's
true,
holding
a
cup of coffee.
A cigarette.
And he's got like a fedora or like a cap
pork pie
on.
Hat. Yeah, a little pork pie
so
hat.
It's just, it is a very dorky It's just a lot. It's just, the dad's a lot. It's just so very good.
We've got a classic dad and lad tale here, is what it's sounding like to me. We've got the kid. This is like our this is like everything we do, which is about a gamer and a parental figure. So you've got a dad that wants to know if his kid is winning, and you've got a kid that's playing video games that, you know, the dad doesn't quite get what it's about.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just realizing how dorked we are. Okay, go ahead. Wait, it sounds like you have an idea, though.
Here we go. Here we go. The dad. I mean, because look at this freaking criminal of a dad. Here, just freaking smoking a cig, having a cup of coffee,
exposing
with
exposing his child to secondhand smoke.
The hat looks like the sort of hat that I just remember. I don't know what they're called. Maybe you guys will know. Games Dean, when he's running a gambling ring. I feel like his dad is running a gambling organization of some sort.
This is,
and
this
he's
is
opening
not,
the door, and it's not like wholesome. It's like, are you winning, son?
Because
like,
this isn't a father in a suburban environment. There's only one place I know where people smoke indoors, and that's over back in communist China, where I would go to these like PC bars. I'm not kidding. I would go to these PC bars, and like, no joke, every single person there's like smoking cigs and like drinking teas from bottles, but a lot of smoking happening indoors in China, at least in the, back when I was over
there. So you're saying this is like a
gold farm.
Gold farming, dude. At World of Warcraft. And
all this kid wants to do is play anime games, but you can't play anime games when you're gold farming, dude.
I'm just imagining that like the frame after this is the door closes, the dad turns back and walks back into the room he came from, and there's just four other just seedy looking gentlemen also smoking cigars and cigarettes.
But they're
with
all
guns.
Counting cash that they got from somewhere.
You all counting cash, and they have guns on the table, and he sits down and nervously puts out his cigarette. He's like, he's doing fine in there. You know? It's like, wait, what? Like, what is this story?
So it's So it's like,
it's like he can't let them know it's his son. And his son loves anime.
I think maybe the jig was up when he walked in and said, "Are you winning, son?" with the door open.
But how do you know he's not whispering it?
That's true.
He could be coming in and be like, "Are you winning, son?" And he looks and he sees his son in VR exploring the Rift, the Oculus Rift S, the new Oculus Rift S. And he's like, oh no, his gold output's going to be low. The boys will get me for this.
Also, just to clarify, I guess I wasn't thinking of it because most of the versions, like the meme format is not the anime hentai version. Seems like a specific version of that. Like the format is more just like a kid on a computer and then people add text over it.
I'm also thinking like, is there an angle here that it's like the Sting, you know, like where they're running like an online con?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there is. With 5 minutes left, there is yes. The answer is yes. The angle is it's a Sting. Keep going.
Here's what I'm seeing. Okay. Let me pitch you this. This is a classic heartwarming dad learns not to explore his kid's talents movie. So then what you do is that, yes, you're right, this dad is a card sharp, he's a flim flam man. That's not a coffee in his hand, that's a glass of scotch with a couple ice cubes in it, right?
Yes.
So he's chain smoking, he's wearing his dapper hat, he's drinking his drinks, and he's gotten old daddy five aces has gotten himself in a heap of trouble, right? And he's wondering how he's going to make up all that money to the mob, and then he sees his son winning at these video games, and then he's like, hey, maybe winning, son? He's like, yeah, dad, I'm super good at this game. And then the son's like, hey, did you know that people bet on Counter-Strike? And he's like,
oh my God,
I'm interested, right? And then he's going to put and then it's one of those. And you know, he supports the kids.
He's secretly betting on his kids' Counter-Strike matches. But then like all the funds, it's like, what's that one with like Tom Hanks in the house that he buys?
Money Pit.
Yeah, it's like that in terms of like all the fun zany things. It's like, oh no, dad, the cable internet is out. And then he's got to like get up on the roof and fix it. And then it's like a fun zany, like, you know what I'm talking about? It's one of those zany movies.
All the kid wants is a new GTX Radeon 3020 80 AD or whatever.
3080, and he's sitting there on like 14 different Discord servers with notifications trying to get like the new egg notifications, but like literally the Discord lag is so slow that the moment like the dad has like a thing will pop up and it'll be like, it's available right now, and he clicks on it, and it's so slow that it's sold out even by the time he clicks on these extra notifications. So he's putting out calls on Twitter, he's asking for people to like help him out. People have reached out to him on DMs being like, hey, here's a secret Discord group that only we use. And like, he's on.
Okay. We only have a. I got it. Here's the whole story. Here's the whole story.
And he still doesn't get it.
No, Freddy.
He still doesn't get it.
Freddy, this is
okay. We're sorry you didn't get a new graphics card.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, no, we're talking about
card.
The dad.
We have 10 minutes. We have 10 minutes. And you spent 2 minutes of it talking about your graphics card. Okay, here's what it is.
Not mine.
This is Hong Kong movie. The fucking dad is Chow Yun Fat. This is history of violence. This is an ex-killer who's now forced to take care of his estranged son.
This is strange video game.
And the reason he doesn't connect with his son is because he's put away violence, and watching his son play violent video games is really tough to watch.
This is
so
this
is strange.
Good idea
and then
already.
He's tough on money, so he realizes his son playing video games can help him pay back the mob that he's trying to escape, John Wick style. Mm-hmm. And then the climax of the movie is they get deep into this like e-sport gambling ring, and the end is like, yes, it's literally like his son is playing a bunch of other people, and if his son wins, they live. If he die, and then he's like, are you winning, son? And his son looks at him nervously, and he's not. So his dad's got to pick that gun back up. And then the ending is a fucking John Wick style action scene where Chow Yun Fat finally picks his guns up for the first time again to save his son. And then it's like you get this cool cross cutting between like
video game
violence and real violence.
I really like the idea that he can't watch his son play violent video games because it reminds him of his violent past. Like, that's very good. All right. That's cool. Done. I like that. He and the son, it's like, all right, I'm dead to the mob. It starts out as a wholesome movie about an ex-triad becoming his son's esports coach, right? Where he's like, he's the son that lacks confidence, right? Like, he gets bullied by the other gamers, so he's got to, like, show him how to be a gangster and stuff like that. And then, like, the son starts winning games, but then the mafia's like, hey, because he's in hiding, right? And then the son starts winning games and stuff like that, and then it draws spotlight onto the dad, and the fucking mob realizes where he is. And so then he's got like, you know, start betting on the kid's game. He kind of falls back into his old ways. He and the kid have a big falling out. But yeah, then the end of the movie is the kid's going into like the big climactic game, and then the bad guys are going to show up to try to kill him, and Chow Yun Fat's got to pick up his two dualies, his freaking guns, to fucking defend his son.
And then it's like Unforgiven, like you get your cake and you eat it too. It's like a super cool fight scene, and then you're like, yeah, I guess. And then the movie's like, violence is wrong though. And you're like, yeah, but it was dope as hell.
But it was very cool.
It was very cool. All right,
okay,
dope.
Wow, all right, that's a, one in the I bank. Like side pitch, hear me out, Uncut Gems, but with 3080 graphics cards.
Yes.
Oh my
that's
god, I'm
right
come.
All right, that's one in the bank.
Doesn't that make you mad? You see it's in stock and it's out of stock by the time you get there. Doesn't that make you want to step on someone's neck?
All right, our next movie is, brace yourselves, it's time for a wacky rom-com. We're going to the world of Distracted Boyfriend.
Distracted Boyfriend.
All right. For those of you that don't know, I'll describe this one. If you've not seen Distracted Boyfriend, Distracted Boyfriend is a picture of a man walking with his girlfriend, and they're walking away from camera, and another girl that happens to look just like his girlfriend.
It does look like they're the same woman. It really does.
That's part of the fun of it.
It does, which maybe is the angle that we'll take on this, is that he's turning away and watching this girl pass by. So he's literally checking out another woman walking past him as he's walking.
And then
his
indignant girlfriend has definitely noticed him doing
this. Yes, has
well.
Noticed, and he's like, what?
Yeah, so.
And very clearly, there's a color thing going. He's wearing like a plaid button up. He's looking back at this woman who's wearing like a red sort of dress, and his girlfriend who's like, whoa, is wearing like a light blue one. And this was originally a stock photo, so it has that stock photo energy. Yeah. And the caption originally was disloyal man with his girlfriend looking at another girl.
Yeah, the guy is definitely doing the phase that no man has ever done looking at a woman, which is like, woo woo. Like he's doing like a cartoon whistle.
Yeah, he's doing the same like lecherous wolf, like pulling down your sunglasses, like, ooh, yeah. Woo. A wooga kind of look. The original one was Phil Collins looking at pop and prog rock being like, which is very, very niche. It's stupid, but somehow it changed the world.
This is used when someone prefers one thing to the thing that they already have.
A grass is always greener kind of
Here's
feeling.
One. This one's hilarious. The guy is millennials, and the girl he's holding hands with is a stable career, property ownership, health insurance, and IRA, the financial stability to start a family. But he's looking at avocado toast. Right?
Oh, man.
I mean, I think that's like kind of a meta one. Like, that's a sort of two layers.
One is the guy's the youth, and he's holding hands with capitalism, but he's looking at socialism. So what that's become.
All right. So that's the meme.
Oh, it is a different woman. If you go through the stock footage, because they shot a bunch, these three actors shot a bunch, and it's like, it's not even like a twin. It's like, she looks very different when she's in
It's
focus.
Just, well, she's blurry in the second, in the meme. Yeah. So,
okay. So this is a guy looking at another woman.
This guy is a skeezy old horn dog.
He also has a great skeezy horn dog look.
He does.
Too.
He's got like a ooh.
But he's young. He's like early 20s.
All right. So
how do we make this one fun?
I hate this movie. I hate this meme. Why did I pick this? Okay. All right.
By the way, this picture could literally be a cover of a directed DVD movie.
I got it. I got it.
Freddie,
got
the
it.
Clock starts now. So
everybody talks about this image about like, oh, it prefers this other woman who just passed him. But nobody is saying the thing that screams to me when I look at this image, which is what is written on the woman in red's back.
Oh, a twist.
Oh, maybe she's got like a new Nintendo Switch in her back pocket.
She's got she's got a map to the Declaration of Independence.
It's a misunderstanding. He wants the new Nintendo. He wants Switch. The new 3080. She's carrying a bag with the GeForce RTX 3080 in her back pocket. And he's like, ooh, the 3080, the fucking performance over the 2080 is so much better. It really justifies jumping the generations. And then his girlfriend thinks, oh no, he's looking at this other woman, but he's in fact looking at the RTX 3080.
Okay, so she's got a graphics card in her back pocket, and I've seen the size of that graphics
card. $760 graphics card. That's a
$760 graphics card in her back pocket.
This is like, I mean, you know, this is like how many movies about this very subject have been made by horny French New Wave directors? Like, it just feels Fellini movie is about a guy who's with one sexy lady, yet he yearns for another sexy lady, and it's like, wow, that's so interesting, Fellini. Tell me more.
Side break real quick. Did I ever tell you the story of like when the guy that we worked with directed DVD movies, I asked him like, hey, what's the easiest movie to sell based on the poster alone? And he thought about it for like 2 seconds, and he was like, if you give me a movie and the poster is a guy in between two pregnant women looking at him angrily, and he's giving like his arms up like a uh-oh, what am I gonna do face, he's like, I can sell that movie to any culture on earth, every territory.
It's true.
It doesn't matter, you don't need to speak English, you understand what this movie is about. Like, I can sell that in Asia, Africa, Europe, doesn't matter, like that. I just saw the poster alone and I cracked up. Like, that's so funny.
We should do that movie next story break, because you've brought up that poster like for the past 8 years, and every time you say it I'm like, yep, that movie would still sell. You would 100% sell right
all
now.
Right. Well, we'll do that one next time, but let's focus on this one. How about it? We got
this picture has everything that picture lacks.
We've got story break to do at home.
Break at home, boys.
I mean, maybe.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, what do you want? He's a jerk. He likes his girlfriend, and then he's like, hey, there's another girl.
But what's the movie?
It's a portal into another dimension. Oh, she's an android. She's an alien. The woman wears an alien. He's like, oh no, it's an
alien.
He's
clearly going woo woo. It's like, he's not just distracted. He's like, I want that.
It's a 38.
I like that lady that walks
past me. It's a graphics
card,
and it's a misunderstanding, and he's a pro gamer.
Maybe the person he's holding hands with is, no, you wouldn't hold hands with your sister at that age.
I don't know.
Well, no, French movie, maybe.
French movie.
I don't know what the culture's like in Spain. This is a Spanish photographer took this picture. Mm-hmm. Maybe people hold hands with their siblings in Spain.
People hold hands a lot more in the rest of the world than we do here in the U.S., I can tell you that. For my worldly travels.
But it does say distracted boyfriend is the name of the meme. True. I think that's framing.
Maybe that's the boyfriend. He's distracted by his sister and his girlfriend's walking away.
Well, I know what it is. She's riding on a hoverboard. And he's like, whoa, that's the best way to go. Or she's got, you know what I'm saying? It's about the hoverboard that she's on. It's a real hoverboard.
Let's embrace the meme. You know, right now I feel like we're the guy.
Well,
and then
the meme
this meme
slow,
is the girl. And now our distracted thing is hoverboards.
Okay. He likes her butt. Like, that's clearly, if you look at the picture, he's looking at her butt. He's not even looking like up. He's like going woo and he's looking down at her. Mm-hmm. And the girlfriend is like, what are you doing, mm-hmm. asshole? Okay, maybe this is like a force majeure type like dark comedy where this is like the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
And this one thing, this one moment like unravels like their entire relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Though, unlike Force Majeure, it's not overly interesting because it's just like, yeah, the guy looks at another girl's butt as an asshole.
Yeah, Force Majeure asks a pretty basic, like, fundamental, interesting question.
All right, to dig deep for a second, what is this meme about? This meme is about you have something, but you want something else, right? The grass is always greener. And, you know, like, there's also, again, the drama of the image is the indignant girlfriend who has caught him, right?
Yes.
So, what... It's like so obvious what the movie is that I'm like, we can't just do that, right? Like,
that's why I'm talking about hoverboards and graphics cards.
To not zag on it for just a second. To not zag. If you were to just like, all right, if we were just going to do hack brain version of this, right? So it's like, it's the guy, he's with the girl, he likes another girl, and his girlfriend knows that he likes the other girl, right? So now, and this other girl is oblivious, right? It's this just this person that is walking down the street. And so then, like, it then becomes... Here's what I imagine. This is like a very French New Wave artsy kind of thing, and it's like a meta structure, and it's three fantasies, almost like that was Unfaithfully Yours.
Tres fantasies.
Like Unfaithfully Yours, right? So we see the boyfriend's daydream about this girl, right? Like we see him, you know, like, and we see the girlfriend's dream about her relationship falling apart. And then we see the oblivious girl's, like, you know, daydream of just going off on her day or whatever, right? And maybe we're intercutting between them, or we see the between them each other. But essentially, you chase them out the entire way. So for this guy, he sees himself, you know, like, you know, the next day he's having coffee after having a fight with his girlfriend, who's, I'm checking out this girl. He sees the other girl, like, oh, ho, ho, she's the new barista at Le Coffee Shop, or what? I don't know why it's French now. But the...
Le Coffee.
You know, and he starts up a casual acquaintance with her, and then of course, you know, sure enough, he hits it off with her, they get sucked into an affair, and then, you know, they, you know, it all blows up. At the end of it, he realizes that he loves his girlfriend, right? And then he decides to, you know, retain his commitment to her, right? And essentially, you're doing all of this is taking place in real time as they're walking past each other in the street, right? So it's like in the sort of like real life time of the movie is them walking past each other, right? So we see the guy's entire daydream, right, about him ending his relationship, falling in love with this beautiful woman who leaves him for another man, and then he ruins his life. And so then at the end of this, he looks back and he's redoubled to his commitment to his girlfriend, and he holds her hand, right? But what he has not seen is that his girlfriend saw him checking out the girl, and now she's gone on this panicked, you know, crisis about, oh my God, he's going to leave me, right? And then so she imagines the, you know, from her perspective, finding the affair, calling him out, you know, getting devastated. But then in her version of the story, like after this guy dumps her, it's like, you know what? His loss. And then she goes on and like rediscovers herself and has a whole new life, you know, that is more meaningful. She kind of realizes like, well, wait a second, if I got broke up with this guy, I would be absolutely fine. Fuck him, right? So then now back to the real world, he's recommitted to his relationship, but now she is the one having doubts. And then so it's like you do this kind of ironic wheel of fate kind of thing with it. Does that make sense?
Yes, you would do. It's a very old school.
It's got like a bossa nova soundtrack.
There's this movie by Lubitsch called 1 Hour, where it's just like two rich socialites are having a party, and they both are like, I know you're going to cheat on me. He's like, well, I know you're going to cheat on me. And they just like cheat on each other at this party. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they go back like, I love you. I love you, too. It's just like this very frothy, like, so I think it's essentially that. It's like, this is a horn dog. It's this like frothy comedy. And then, yes, I think the end is, I like what you're saying, is that you go through this kind of like, he's like imagining all the other women he could be with and all this stuff. And then he realizes like, oh, I like my girlfriend, though. And he holds her hand. And then you do her version of it, which is she noticed him and she's on her own adventure. And when she grabs his hand, he smiles at her and she smiles back. And then we see that she then gets distracted by a hot guy walking past her and she smiles. And you're like, oh, these are both horn dogs.
These like, goofballs. Yeah.
Yeah. These goofballs. They found each
then
other.
The hot guy and the hot girl both meet up because they're the actual stars of the rom-com. And then the movie ends. You're like, oh, that was cute. What a trifle.
The twist that I have here is that just out of frame are a series of serious looking sunglassed men in suits. And that's the prime minister. He's lusting after the prime minister. And there's a wacky political angle.
Ooh, that's fun. Yeah.
You know, it's like the prime minister, you know.
You could spin this off into like, yes, we could, like, there is the question of who the third woman, the elusive third woman, like, what's her internal life? What's her thing, right? Or do you keep her as the sort of obscure object of desire, that she is the sort of, like, forever out of focus, right? Like, is what she represents in the image is a sort of blurry fantasy.
I'm assuming that we're out of time, but I'll just like to say that for the last like 2 seconds, I think Freddie, you cracked it. What we should have done is like, this picture is the story. This is a photograph of like the prime minister's son that gets splashed around the front page as he's looking. He's like holding the hand of like the Princess of Wales or something.
Okay,
and then
it's
like, it causes a whole problem. And it's this romantic comedy of this like horn dog prime minister's son.
He's like, I wasn't looking at her. I was looking at this GTX 3080 this other guy has. It doesn't look like that in the photo. It looks like you're looking at her ass. I'm not an ass man. I don't like that. I don't want to look at butts. I don't like butts.
As this photograph gets splashed all across the page.
Yes, this
all
also, right. That's a brilliant. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, well, you got two for the price of one. That's a very good.
Oh, by the way, third option. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it involve a GeForce graphics card?
No. But this one will really blow your gourd. I want you to think about this one. What if the woman in red, what if this whole photo is in focus?
Okay, what's the next
one? So she's just a blurry woman. That's why he's looking at her, because she's blurry.
She's like Bigfoot. That's called the blurred woman.
Ooh, okay. John Cassavetes, the blurred woman. Yeah, I could see that.
And the blurred world, Freddy, because the world is out of focus.
No. The rest of the world is a proper photograph, but she's blurry. Okay. They're on the same plane.
Yeah.
Okay. She's blurry though.
She's also weirdly proportioned.
Yeah. But like, that's just because there's a pothole that she's standing in.
She's also 8 feet
tall. So give me a break. I just saw an 8 foot tall blurry woman step into a pothole. Of course I looked. I'm
of course
only
I was
human.
Aroused.
And it's called the 8 foot tall woman who stepped in a pothole. And I looked at her side.
I never thought I would find my kink, but there it is. It's very specific, but I got it.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya, a movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, moving on.
All right, what's the next
meme? Moving on. Next is Stonks.
Stonks. Okay,
Freddy, you want to describe Stonks?
Stonks. Stonks is one of my favorites. Stonks, which is a funny internet way of saying the word stocks. So the Stonks meme is as follows. It is a, looks like a stock photo as a baseline, but there's been some Photoshoppery involved. You have a man in a suit with a blue tie with his arms crossed on the left. Instead of a human head, he appears to have some sort of like almost like 3D rendered crash test dummy-esque, like
cheap 90s lawnmower man-esque CGI.
By the way, it looks like if you take like an Apple like headphones and turn it on the side and then replace the ear hole with a face, that's what his head like. That's what
very
it looks
good.
Like. Behind him, askew is what appears to be a spreadsheet in blue. An orange arrow is going straight up and to the right, and then underneath it, it looks like Arial font. Yes, Arial font, because the S lines don't match up. In all lowercase. Stonks.
And yes, gets this blue void of NASDAQ numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like an example of this meme in the wild I just found, because this is when you do a dumb financial decision that you don't understand that you lost money, basically. So the one, yeah. And then you're like, stonks, like I've made a good investment. So like the one I'm looking at here says, when you buy a $10 scratch card and you win $5. And then it's the guy that says stonks. Like, so that's a classic stonks meme.
It's an economic thing.
Give your sister your smart piggy bank to play with. She mixes your money and your parents let you keep the double money is stonks.
Watches Wolf of Wall Street once. Stonks.
Yes.
Like I know what I'm talking about.
It's
now.
A world of success. It's a world of unearned confidence, but it's a total airhead.
It's unearned confidence is very much what it is, because this guy's got that power pose of like, yes, I've done it. And he's looking at stonks.
So
it is this like unearned confidence is a good way to describe it.
I do want to put us in one corner, which is that I very much feel that the main character of the movie is this stonks man.
I agree. Stonks man. Yes.
It's not like, oh, we're doing a movie and it's Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like, no, it's the stonks guy. Like, and I could see it being the stonks guy in basically Wall Street, right? Like, that seems like a good place to go. And everyone else in the movie is real.
Okay, so everybody else is human.
Here comes this young gun, this new hotshot. And it's like almost like Amadeus, where like you have a Salieri character. He's like, this guy's a fucking idiot. He's not even real. He's like a living meme. Like,
yeah, meme man, as he is known in some circles.
Yes, he's called meme man because he shows up in some other memes.
Wait, so in this world, do people know this meme and then he shows up?
That's a good question.
Probably not.
Okay, maybe we're in a financial crisis Mm-hmm. And then, okay, we're in a, here's my pitch. We're in a financial crisis. And Jeff Bezos is like, I should be able to save this world. I get all these dumb ideas. I keep going on the internet and hearing about, you know, if I gave everybody $100,000 or whatever, but it's like, it doesn't work that way. I can't do this. I need help. Maybe I should, you know, who's the smartest person I know? My son. And then he asks his son shows him the stonks meme. And he's like, I think if you made this person come to life, like come to Earth.
Like a Frankenstein sort of situation.
Like a Frankenstein, the stonks man will save the world.
Here's my thought. Again, as I mentioned in the past, there's a world of VTubers, which is like Twitch streamers and YouTubers who use 3D technology to like be anime, like, you know, like whatever's instead of their human form showing up.
Mm-hmm.
What if this is like a flim flam, a modern day flim flam man, Wolf of Wall Street style,
mm-hmm.
and he's like 3D track this, but this is his persona. That's his like look. That's his persona. And he's given flim flam advice on penny stocks, but by virtue of doing so is able to move the market. So, you know what I mean? It's about a con. And it's a flim flam man.
No, but that's too smart. Like, Stonks Man is dumb. Like, that's like you're mm-hmm. talking about as a smart Stonks guy. Like, this is
you're right.
That's true. Maybe he's an alien and he's saying stonks. I don't know where I was going with that. I was trying to think, like, what's this movie about? Maybe his love is more important than money. And we all think he becomes like a god, like a Zardoz type figure. And we all love him because he's like the ultimate planet money because he keeps saying stonks. And all he's really saying is he's like calling out his wife. And that's like E.T. And then
to me,
like,
this is a satire of the whole of our financial institutions. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, because if you think about it, like the economy itself, like the way the economy works is basically stonks. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's like when the bank loans you
certainly our understanding
yeah
of
our
it.
Understanding of it sure it's like when the bank loans you money they just make up that money they just write down you have this amount of money now right there's no like that so it's like it stonks right it's all imagined crazy nonsense right like that's the kind of spoof here I think that's the energy.
Money's not real man
Matt, econ major you have some words on that one
they don't just make up
they
money.
Make up the money
but yes
where does the money but, come yeah. from Matt if I go to the bank and I say I want $500,000 what do they do and they approve
they
my
have-
loan
they have that money in a
do
yeah.
they or are they leveraging debt from the future that you know like the they don't have the money there it's full that's
they don't have the money it's illegal
imagine this plot of Terminator 2 but instead of a sphere and naked Arnold showing up it's $500,000
but the point being is that with fiat money which is what every country runs on now there is this element of non-tangibility and there's so many $1 is passed through so many people and it's so far removed from the initial coin or whatever it is that yes it is there's a reason why financial markets are bizarre and constantly fluctuating is because money is stonks now it's very
money
difficult.
Is stonks now.
Money is stonks money is no longer a chicken for some silver it is incredibly difficult elaborate you know mixture of numbers and computer code and all sorts of shit. So yes, it stonks.
So I feel like Stonks Man, I feel like this meme man comes to life and enters the financial. It's almost like you remember Chicken Boo from Animaniacs. I feel like he's got Chicken Boo energy, right? Where like no one really understands that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and he's just like it's like an AI automaton.
Yeah. It's an AI that came from the trading networks because of all the computing power and machine learning we're putting into the computer into trading stonks. It generates a human being with feelings.
I like the
emotion.
Idea that this is the result of like an AI program trying to like best like calculate stocks and then it literally comes to consciousness and it stonks.
Okay, so this is the thing. It's a nutty professor. Okay,
it's a typo.
Out.
The reason he says stonks is that when
yes,
they named
yes,
the file,
there was
a typo
and they put stonks in the name and so it says stonks and that's the only thing it can say. By the way, absolutely the only thing this thing can say is stonks.
Like a Pokemon.
It's like a Pokemon. Here's the movie. It's like a Frankenstein I've created a monster thing. Our main character mm-hmm. she's like a day trader and mm-hmm. she's been, you know, she spends too much time at the office. She wants to spend more time at home, relaxing, you know, hanging out with her cat, whatever. Right. And so she designs an algorithm to help her do her job. And then, you know, nicknames it stonks or whatever, right? But then, of course, it gets zapped by a lightning bolt or, you know, like there's like some crazy corrupt, you know, thing happens or, you know, Russian hackers penetrate their network and all of a sudden it gains sentience. And then, you know, she's been swapping what she really wants to do.
Here's what it's like the paperclip problem is like she makes a program that will buy the stocks perfectly in order to make the most money. Mm-hmm. And then like she goes to sleep or she gives up because she thinks it doesn't work and she's doing whatever it is that mm-hmm. she's doing. But this thing keeps running in the background. background and it starts buying, you know, it starts day trading, but then it has problems because like, oh, I can't buy fast enough, so I need credit card so I can do it myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that still is not fast enough. I can't make enough money off of day trading, so I have to like buy bigger things. Okay, and it keeps going. Then eventually it's like, well, shit, I need to be able to walk onto the floor of a fucking, you know, New York stock exchange.
Yes.
So it's like, it just keeps evolving. And then by the end, it's just like, what do I need to be? He's like, oh, I need to be a false, confident white male. But this weird version of it. And now he just walks into like Jeff Bezos' office and goes, stonks. And they go, my God, whatever he asks, do it. You know?
It's basic.
It's like this thing has just created the ultimate.
And it's the whole financial system is going to come crashing down. Like, it's going to destroy millions of lives. But the thing knows that the governments will bail it out. So they're like, we're going to have to bail out Stonks, man, by giving him $1 trillion. And it's
she realizes because what she's done is like, what's the ultimate game? What's the point of the stock market? It's not for a stable market. It's to make the most money. And she realizes this thing's working and the whole like everybody's making a ton of money. But then she realizes like, oh, no, this thing's been designed. At the end of this, it's just, it will destroy the entire earth to make me the most money possible, you know, sort of thing. And she realizes that like somehow it's figured out that the best thing to possibly do is to like sell Earth off in order to make, like, you know, it's like it's going to destroy Earth somehow.
Yeah, contact an alien civilization, sell Earth.
Oh, that's good.
No. It's just like in the news right now. There's that asteroid that is worth a gajillion dollars, right?
Oh, yes.
So it's going to like, it starts, they're like, what's Stonks Man up to? Why is he investing in all these space companies? Right, and then so Stonks Man prints out like an army of Stonks asteroid robots that are gonna like basically take this asteroid and then ram it into the earth because that's how it understands value, right? Like, that's like, I will have a $1 trillion. Okay, so essentially, yes, it's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice with Stonks, right? So then our main characters is basically, you ever see the movie Working Girl?
No.
With, I believe, is it Melanie Griffith in Working? Dude, Working Girl is fucking great, by the way. Melanie Griffith is like, she's this girl from Jersey who wants to make it as a day trader. It was in the 80s, so the whole thing is like very bullish, no pun intended, on like how being a like corporate raider is cool. But okay, so yeah, so she wants to get ahead. She can only work so many hours, so she creates this robot to help her out. And then, of course, it gains sentience and starts running amok. You know, it's a movie about greed and capitalism. She realizes she has to stop the robot because it's killing it on Wall Street. And she realizes it's going to provoke a global financial collapse. So then she has to stop Stonks Robot.
I feel like the ending is very much, it's like the Knowing. I feel like the ending is like she's trying to stop it. And then, you know, it's like the Ozymandias thing. It's like, it doesn't say this because it just says Stonks. But essentially, like, you wouldn't have figured out this plan unless I've already achieved it. And then it's like the world is going to blow up. And she looks at her bank account and it has like $100 trillion. And then she's like, my God. Like, got all the money in the world, but the world's going to be destroyed before I could use it. And then she just looks up at him. He's like, Stonks. It's like the earth blows up, you know?
You think the earth blows up? You don't think they stop Stonks, man?
No.
I don't think the earth
Stonks
blows
is
up.
Tragic. No. You can't make him a kind one. Stonks leads to ruin.
No, but the problem is that we're going to know from minute 15 that Stonks is bad news. So it being a tragic ending is just like, you're just like the bad thing you've been waiting to have happen, the entire thing happens. Like, that's not a good tragic ending.
No, because it seems goofy. It's how that movie plays. It's goofy and fun, and you expect it to end. Nobody thinks your Stonks movie is going to end with everybody dying. But Stonks leads to ruin. That's the way the meme goes. It's not Stonks is like, it's fine. Stonks is always, if confidence Stonks a man, does it ruin everything? Then I don't know what Stonks is. Well, we'll find. We can audience test the ending, which means it'll be the happy one.
The other ending of the movie is she marries Stonks man and they drive off, and then it turns into distracted boyfriend.
Oh, Stonks man realizes that money, yes, love is, yes, the AI eventually gets to the point of realization that one moment of true love is worth more than all the money in the world, and sells it off at her and Stonks man right off into the sunset. And he goes, Stonks. And she goes, Stonks. And they kiss. Sure.
So he got the dumb heteronormative rom-com ending or the apocalyptic the world ends ending. We'll workshop it.
To be fair, those are pretty much the only two endings.
So basically you would do that, like, it comes online and finds her meme folder. That's how it learns about humanity, right? So she's got some motivational poster that says, you know, he who dies with the most stuff wins or whatever. And then that becomes its base code. And so then, yes, they need to upload a new message for Stonks Man to change what Stonks Man wants. And then, yeah, so it's the thing about, like, money can't buy you happiness or whatever. They're going to try to overload his algorithm with a paradox. And then you just do the end of the movie is that Stonks Man becomes obsessed with happiness now. And then Stonks Man becomes like a wellness guru. And then you're like, and then the sequel's all about satirizing the wellness industry.
All right, moving on.
All right, somewhere in there.
Yeah, Stonks.
Stonks. All right, moving on.
If the movie sucks, you just have Stonks Man turn to the audience and go,
and just say Stonks.
It's like, I got your money. Like we
I got your money. Yeah, that's it, right? Yeah. It's...
All right, what's
okay,
the next meme?
The next meme is Galaxy Brain.
You want to describe this
one?
All
right, Galaxy Brain. This is going to be a very weird one. So Galaxy Brain is basically a series of images. It's like these like blue stock photos of a person's brain, right? So the first one is like a very small brain inside a normal skull. And then the brain gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the person becomes like a space being. And then they're like meditating in the stars. And so basically it's just like sequences of images that implies like a series of more and more enlightened minds.
Yes. The brain scan images are small and dark at first, and then there's like, you know, the light showing kind of brain activity.
More lens flares.
Yes, and then by the end, it's like beams of light are shooting out of this brain, and then yes, depending on the version of the meme, it goes all the way to like enlightened space god, and you know, the meme itself, where it ends, has taken its own form. Some go to Thanos and all sorts of stuff.
So but here's a classic progression, right? So tiny brain and dumb skull, I watch TV. Bigger brain, I read books. Even bigger brain now expanding into the universe. I watch anime. And God brain, I spend all day posting anime memes to back up my right-wing politics. So obviously there's a bit of a satirical bent to these.
Yeah, this is a good one. It's like you're fired and then you're unable to work here again. You're jobbed and then you're promoted to a customer. So it's like the pivot of like you're fired to you're promoted to a customer. It's like a new way of thinking about what's happened. So yeah, it's like.
So, okay.
Oh boy, this one's a tough
one.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's
just
an idea.
This is a tricky one because it's not really, I don't know why. This one's fun and we joke about it a lot. So I was like, oh, let's try out Galaxy Brain.
We could do a movie about Freddy's doomed Galaxy Brain podcast idea.
Doomed? Wait. Hold on.
I just wanted some energy coming from you.
Doomed? Mm-hmm. How dare you? My Galaxy Brain idea is great. Anyway, this is a new podcast idea I have. It's called Galaxy Brain with Freddie Wong. Mm-hmm. And every episode, I'm the guest, and the guest interviews me because it's a podcast about me and my Galaxy Brain ideas. And then every episode is about my Galaxy Brain ideas.
All right.
So maybe that's it. Maybe it's about a radio show host who runs a show called Galaxy Brain.
Show called
Brain.
Galaxy Brain with Freddie Wong.
Okay.
And
I'm interested.
Here's one. Here's a Galaxy Brain idea. Uh-huh. Hey, Yelp and all the food apps, you can access my phone's GPS. You know that I don't walk at 60 miles an hour on major freeways. So when I'm looking for a place to eat and I'm clearly traveling in a vehicle, don't give me results from behind me. Only give me results from things in front of me.
I mean, you could turn around.
No. You can't stop the relentless force of progress. And sometimes you don't want to turn around. You want to think about what's in front of me. You don't want to get off your road trip or something like that. Done. Genius.
Okay. I don't know why we picked this one. Okay.
Hey, you got to throw one hard one in. You know, you need like Stonks was the warm up round. All right. So,
I mean, this is the story of Buddha is what this is, right? Is what being depicted in the pictures.
Depending sort of.
Okay.
The person has a very small brain at the beginning is what's amusing too. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a human sized brain in a skull.
Yes, it's like a smaller than normal brain. You're right. Yeah, it's like a tiny brain.
It's like a tiny brain rattling around.
Or hear me out, a normal brain in a very big body.
Okay. There's a Galaxy Brain idea. Good job. I like that.
Oh, so, and also, by the way, the first one is just a skull. The second one we see skin.
True. Yes. You start seeing the form of the person's face. Okay, what is this a movie about? It's about enlightenment, right? But satirical. I know the meme itself is satirical, but it's playing into the idea of what is enlightenment, like what's enlightened thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And then the format is coming up with some hot take or stupid idea and claiming that that's the enlightened thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're essentially showing your work. It's essentially dumb hot take version of showing your work in math where you start from the idea and then work your way to the end and be like, see, this is why snorting or eating Tide Pods is a Galaxy Brain idea.
Yeah, it's a conclusion first and then the justification kind of backwards a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's our character? Let's start there.
It's clearly a blue spaceman.
Maybe we could cheat our way.
This has got to be a different, this is a different angle. I don't know if this one is as literal as the other memes.
You can't just take the literal.
Or maybe
thing.
It's like Baraka. Okay. Because then we don't really have to come up with a movie.
Yeah, but we're just like, this is just America's funniest home videos with Philip Glass music underneath is what we do.
Wait, that's really good.
And it's just a sequence. Yes, it's just an elevating sequence of dumber and dumber things as the galaxy brain continues to expand.
Yeah, you find incredible moments of human, like, stupid ingenuity, you know, like, you see those pictures of, like, you get this a lot on, like, various Reddits where it's like, hey, somebody call OSHA, because you'll see, like, you know, two ladders stretch across a building and somebody changing a light bulb. You're like, this guy's dead. It's like, no, I mean, this, it worked, but it's, like, stupid. It's, like, those sort of ideas just documented, like, a freaking, you know, Werner Herzog sort of documentary.
Yeah, if it works, it ain't stupid, right? That's the old...
And it's just called Galaxy Brain.
Yeah, it's about... Anyway, this is, it's an exploration, documentary...
I've got the movie. It's... Hear me out. It's Limitless, but the pill just makes the guy think he's smarter.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
But they find success regardless because
it's all about confidence, right? It's kind
of
like stocks, but yes, it's just about, like, the more this person takes this pill, the more enlightened they think they are. And so then it's like a Jim Carrey kind of zany movie about just an increasingly dumb person. Or it's not even that they're increasingly dumb, but it's just you realize that it's like, it's just like, it is so intoxicating that, like, you can just become convinced of the stupidest thing of all time. And then, yes, yeah, so there's always that tension of, is it going to pan out? Or is it going to be like, is it so stupid it's going to work? Or so stupid that you're gonna die.
I think that they have that drug in real life. It's called weed.
Yeah, it's like most drugs.
Most drugs actually kind of fall under that category.
All right.
So it's like, it's one of those. I'm trying to think
or is Baraka.
But it gives them the power to manifest this, right? They get psychic powers X-Men style with this drug so that these dumb ideas can in fact manifest.
Yes. Okay. It's like we create a dumb god.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just stonks.
Like my idea for a theme park called Scary Park. That's a scary theme park based on our actual fear, which is the fear of mechanical failure at a theme park.
Okay, so this is what it is. This is the thing.
It's real. I can never make that. But now with this movie,
your main character is Jeff Bezos, right? It's someone with a tremendous amount of influence in the world and a ton of money, right? And they're like, I need to go deeper. I need to figure out, like, well, like, once you have a bajillion dollars.
Yeah. Steve Jobs, like, got into, like, transcendental meditation and shit. I got to do that for me.
Yeah,
what's
so
that for me?
All of Amazon's top research people come together to create, like, a super pill for Jeff Bezos to take to see the galaxy brain plays they need to be making as a company, right? But what they don't realize when they make the thing is that they've actually just boosted his own sense of self-worth and they just made him think that he's having these deep epiphanies, right? So then he starts doing stuff like Freddy's, you know, like, we should only show, you know, restaurants to people when they're going forward and stuff like that.
Scary Park. He makes Scary Park. It's like, we're putting money into Scary Park because people like getting scared. It's around Halloween. We'll make a whole theme park about being scared. But of what? But, like, of the idea that maybe your legs could get cut off by this roller coaster. But then people will want... But then it's scary, though. They got to sign a waiver.
And then, then it's just that for 2 hours. And it's basically the Stonks movie. Look, they're not all going to be winners, okay? Get off my back.
Is that or the Baraka
one? It's either that or the documentary that someone else does.
Yeah. I like the... what it is you find the person who does that stupid idea that you saw on the internet, and then you interview them what they were thinking, and you set that over incredible... Like... Having that guy explain, like, why two ladders across a building would work, and then, like, incredible imagery of, like, ladders being constructed and, like, you know, architecture and bridges and explaining, like, that sort of, like, you know, the physics of it while this guy's voice is going over it and, like, Philip Glass music explaining, and just doing that for, like, a dozen stupid human moments of ingenuity, you know. So you got 2 for 1.
Or he also goes, like, I'm going to create a list called the NYT bestsellers list because the New York Times bestseller list is not okay. But the NYT bestseller list, you can pay me $2,000 a book to get on it. And then you can say in your book on the NYT bestsellers list. But the NYT doesn't stand for New York Times. It stands for my cool money-making scheme.
That is a galaxy brain idea. All right.
All right, last one. Speed round.
Okay, speed round.
Got to do it quick. We're almost out of time.
All right, last one is Always Has Been. So Always Has Been is a very fun meme where it's two astronauts looking at the Earth and one astronaut is staring at it saying, wait, it's all blank. Like in the first verse, it's like, wait, it's flat. And then the other astronaut is pulling a gun out to shoot the first astronaut and says, always has been. So various versions have been like, wait, it's all Ohio, or wait, it's all made of chicken tenders. And the other astronaut's like, always has been. So this is like a space murder conspiracy. This one's got a lot of meat on the bones, I think.
Okay. So it's definitely about two astronauts.
Two astronauts in space, right? Yeah.
It feels like this is the end of
of the movie, right? It feels like or like near the end of the movie, because it's like one astronaut is about to shoot the other one for this realization. It's like it's a parody of these like movie moments, essentially, also, where it's like you figured out the answer, now I have to kill you.
It feels like the astronaut main, so our main character is definitely the person who gets killed at the end, right?
We have to know what the realization is. This is not one where like the meme format, like you have to know, like, you know, is it all Ohio? Is it the earth is flat? Like what the realization is the whole meat of this possible movie idea. Like what is
It's all an episode of Story Break.
It's all fiction. Life is meaningless. It always
it's all
been.
Memes. It's all memes.
It's all memes.
Yeah.
All, this episode's all memes. It's always
okay. So yes,
been.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do.
Oh, it's a listener of a podcast.
No. I got it. Okay. It's about someone who's so sick of memes that they want to leave the earth. So the movie is just them getting like they're just so annoyed by memes, right? And everywhere they go, they see memes. They start seeing memes in stuff, right? It starts to like they've got like meme madness, right? Where like everywhere they look, they see memes. And then they decide to escape the earth. And then of course at the end they look back and they see the earth and they realize the person behind them has the gun. They go, wait, it's all memes, and the guy says, always has been.
Yeah.
And just like this episode, it's all memes, and you're gonna be like, what? Has Story Break always been this funny? And then we're right behind you ready to blow your mind with an old always has been.
It's basically, yes, I would do it as about a memeologist who is
God.
Okay, hear me out. It's about a meme. It's basically like, you guys ever see Pi, the Darren Aronofsky movie about the guy who's obsessed with the number Pi, like the numerologist? And it's like a crazy trippy conspiracy movie. It's like that. It's someone who studies memes and like, where do these memes come from? Like, what's the origin of the memes?
Oh,
how do they bubble
okay.
up from the subconscious? And then they go down this deep rabbit hole where like memes are the language of God, and like he's communicating to us through, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Yes, so, I like, it's not a memeologist, it's like a language specialist.
Yes.
Hieroglyphics. Mm-hmm. And what you do is, yes, it's very like adaptation type, where like as he's living his life, everything he's experiencing is memes. Like he walks into a restaurant and like Success Kid is sitting at the table, he's like, what the fuck, and he like shakes his head, and like, yes, you literally do, like the form of the movie starts taking like memes itself. Like he turns on Fox Business or whatever, and Stonks Man is reporting the news, and it's like he begins to like freak out, and he's like, oh my God, maybe meme culture is what all of language has always been. And then, yes, at the end, it's like literally he like needs to leave Earth because he's going crazy. And then, you know, the final moment is, of course, this meme or whatever it is.
Yes, your main character escapes the Earth, or this is the last meme, right? This will prove it, right? The only way to prove to everyone that the whole world is memes is to go into space and recreate the always has been meme. And then he goes up in the earth, and then he says, wait, it's not memes? And then the person says, never has been. And then they shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Whoa, isn't that a mind blower?
Damn.
All right, sure, all right. Why not?
Sure, fuck it. It's a meme.
That's going to do it for us this week. This amazing episode is done. Congratulations, you've made
That's
it.
How we should end every episode.
This amazing episode is finished.
Sorry, everybody. This episode that you've been enjoying is over now. The end. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Hey, Will, tell me about the fan art, please.
Oh, we got some fan art. We got some fan art to share with you.
By the way, next week when we ask for a fan art, you just do all the memes. You say, oh, yeah, we got tons of fan art.
Tons of fan art. People have been going crazy for these memes. People are memeing out. First up, Nell on Twitter sent us some very cute doodles of Tiny Abraham Lincoln and Abraham Hatsune Miku. So you can find that on our Twitter page. Thanks, Nell. We also got from someone named Mac a really incredibly creepy poster for Creepy Crawlers, a Story Break classic, a Story Break banger. So thank you to Mac for that.
If you're disappointed by this episode, go ahead and go back and listen to Creepy Crawlers.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, no,
Wilhelm E. is back in the game and gave us a poster for Fleas on a Boat on a Spaceship, starring Samuel L. Jackson, of course.
Nice.
So thank you very much for that. And we also got another flea poster from Tanner Kumar on Twitter. This one is like super like H.R. Giger style, very creepy. And then I would be remiss if I did not mention that Robert Lighthall on Twitter tweeted us a frickin' theme song for Scholastic Internet that slaps. It's very, very good. And
you can
find that on our Twitter. It's a banger. Thank you, Robert. Thanks to everyone who's been submitting fan art. You can find those all at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. You can also join the conversation at bit.ly bit.ly/storybreakfb to join our Facebook group.
Thank you so much to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network for having us on. You can find a lot of podcasts at MaximumFun.org. All the great ones. Head on over there. They're a great podcast network. There's a lot of really great shows that you can check out as well. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold.
Got nothing for me, Matt?
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.